Dads for Kids is a really great organisation, and they've got some really good resources to help and encourage and support dads in today's society. They want to give a positive impact and portray dads in a positive light in today's day and age. Now, we're not all fathers in this room, but we have all had or have a father in our lives, that and they've all shaped us and made us, helped us to shape who we are as individuals. Now, our dads might have had a positive impact on us, like Daniel was sharing, or your dads might have had a bit of a struggle, a negative impact in your life that leaves scars and hurts, and they might have destroyed trust and destroyed relationships. Usually dads in the media are portrayed as clueless or distant or absent, and it's very negative in the media when it's portrayed on TV or online. But there's one exception, one shining light that comes through that has a positive spin on a father. And that is, can anyone recognize this? This is who it is. It's Bluey. Now, Bluey's a little girl, Blue Healer, and her dad is called Bandit. Now, Bandit is the sort of dad that's fully engaged in their kids' lives. They're fully present. He's playful and imaginative, and he plays, gets down on the ground with them and acts out full of energy, and it's totally unrealistic. The amount of energy this dad has to play with his kids and do all the things, no one could do it. In fact, an ABC reporter back in 2021 said, I am going to try and be a Bluey dad today. And so the kids laid out the agenda. And so they went to the park, and he played the big monster in the park, and he had to run super slow so he didn't catch his kids, and he had attracted all these other kids from other families, and he went out and had baby chinos and did all these things, and at the end of the day he was totally trashed and he just could hardly lift his head off the pillow. And still, at the end of the day, there was washing that needed to be done. There was vacuuming. There was dishes in the sink. And so he never got to all that because he was focusing on being Bandit for the day. And it just didn't work. We might have bursts of energy to be the best dad we can be. Someone put a sticker on me that said, best dad. And then came back and told me, you can't be the best dad, only God's the best dad. So that put me in the place right away. So, yeah, and then Brad sounds pretty good as a dad as well. So, yeah, there's lots of people doing positive things in fathering. But when we look at different dads and what they get up to, and look at Bandit, who you just can't live up to, comparison kills. As soon as you start pointing the finger at someone else and seeing a father or someone taking their kids to the park and say, oh, you know, I haven't taken my kids to the park for ages, or I haven't taken my grandkids to the park, or whatever. Comparison kills. There's all different styles of parenting, and as soon as you start pointing to others, then it just destroys your confidence. The Bible shows us some clues how we can better reflect our Heavenly Father. And Ross has read from Psalm 103. being an intentional father. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect example. Now, the Bible's not full of perfect examples. There's lots of negative examples in there. Erica shared with us last week both Eli and Samuel, who were both spiritual leaders of God's family. They were expected to do the right thing and pray and look after people and encourage people. Both Eli's sons and Samuel's sons were dishonest, disobedient. They were self-serving. They took bribes. They weren't just. They were unjust. In fact, a prophet went to Eli and said these sobering words. He said, you are more devoted to your sons than you are to God. We've got to put our parenting in perspective with our relationships. We've got to put God as the best dad and put him on the pedestal. And to put our children on the pedestal is a negative thing for them in the longer run. And so it's full of negative examples. So where's God in all this? Well, in Psalm 103, this is a praise and worship psalm of David, appreciating our Heavenly Father who wants to connect with his people. And it's all about relationships. And God's initiated this relationship with us, and he's very intentional. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And in verses 10 to 12, it says this: he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Do you get that? How great his love is? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And then it goes on and says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. He is an amazing example of being an intentional father. Have you ever had a plan that's fallen flat on its face? I had a great plan to be an intentional dad. Now, Bandit wasn't around back then, but I was going to take my three boys out the backyard. I think Rihanna was a little baby, and I'd give Katrina the night off. I was going to look after the three boys. And so we set up the tent in the backyard, and we got it all set up. The backyard was on a bit of a slope, and it's a bit lumpy. I wasn't in the best of moods. I was a bit irritable, and I was, not really fully engaged with the whole process. But I was determined to give Katrina a night off, and I was determined to take the kids out the backyard for the experience. It was going to be so good. And my three boys were so excited. They got the sleeping bags and pillows and got it all out. And we got in there just as the sun was going down, and we got all settled, and then we got up again because we had to go to the toilet, and then we all got back into bed, and we told a little story, and I thought up a story on the spot, and yeah, that'll do. And right now it's time to go to sleep. And everyone was fidgeting and excited, and finally everyone got their heads down on the pillow. Caleb was a bit unsettled that night, and I said, just lie still, would you go to sleep? And he got up and said, no, I can't. And he projectile vomited all over inside the tent and said, oh, that's it, everyone out, into your own beds. And the whole plan of being an intentional, loving, compassionate, caring father just went out the window in an instant. The thing is, God had a plan. And God has a very intentional plan. And it comes, I don't know if you can see a few of the faces in the background there. It might be a bit hard with the lights on. But this is our church family camp. And this is a part of God's intentional plan. He brought us together, and it was part of his eternal plan. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Isn't that amazing? He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. That's his intention for us. Now, you might read this instead of, for he chose us. You might be able to say, he chose me. And he chose you to be a part of his family. In love, he predestined us, you, me, for adoption to sonship or daughtership, to be adopted into his family through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Isn't that amazing? This is God's plan. This is God's intent. And it gives him joy to know that we've been adopted into his family. And Kings Park Community Church is a mini picture of God's worldwide church family. You could say this is our tent that we're going out and having a relationship, an intentional relationship with our Heavenly Father. And there's some grumblings, and there's some people that are not happy, and there's some people who are a bit restless. But this is us working as God's family, working together and hopefully giving glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. God's plan is flawless. In verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says this: in him we have redemption. He's bought us. He's bought us with his blood, through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't work it off. It's not based on my terms. This is based on God's terms, that he has freely given us this gift to be adopted into his family, and we can accept him as Lord and Savior and accept him as our Heavenly Father, because Jesus died on the cross for all the wrong things that we've ever done. And we can acknowledge that gift by saying, yes, I do realize I need a relationship with God. I need to realize that I don't measure up in and of myself. It's a free gift, and I want to accept that gift. Abraham Lincoln once said these words: I don't know my grandfather, but what I'm more concerned about is wondering what my grandson will become. I don't know my grandfather, but I'm concerned about my grandson and my son and what they will become in life. Now, if you read Ephesians is full of advice of how we work in God's family. God's our Heavenly Father. He's very intentional, but he's given us some advice in how to work in our family. And Daniel brought it up when he shared about Brad. He said, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. We need to deal with our anger issues. There's lots of other items that Paul looks at in Ephesians, like immorality and relationships within the home. But I'm going to focus on this one. Get rid of any bitterness, rage, or anger. Bitterness is internal anger. And we just seethe and just are so frustrated and irritable in our inner being. Bitterness really shrinks our soul. Rage is external anger. When we express our anger to those around and vomit over everyone around about us. And that's negative as well. And when you have anger in your heart, whether you keep it deep down or express it outwardly, this destroys the soul. It means that you can't feel other emotions coming in because you're so dominated by anger and hurt. And so Paul's saying, get rid of this anger issue. Deal with it. Seek counsel. Prayerfully deal with what's going on inside your heart. Get some support network around about you to help you get rid of it and deal with it. Seek a way to deal with this issue because it's destructive to relationships. And then he goes on in the very next word, verse, be kind and compassionate. And in Ephesians 4, as we read this, it goes on, get rid of your anger, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. When we appreciate what God's done for us, then we can reflect that with the people around about us. It goes on in the first verse of chapter 5 in Ephesians, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Because we see this reflected from our Father, he's kind, compassionate, he's slow to anger. Imitate our Heavenly Father and appreciate a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God, forgiving as the Lord has forgiven us. If we as adults need to deal with the anger and hurt in our lives, then we need to be able to show that with the children around about us. And so Paul goes on in Ephesians 6. He says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. In verse 4 of chapter 6. In this version it says, Father, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Sometimes I like pushing buttons in people around about me. And it's not a healthy thing. And I realize this. And so sometimes I think it's funny when I push people's buttons and get a reaction out of them. And I apologize if I've done that to you recently or in the past. But it shouldn't be our motivation to push people's buttons and push our children. It's not funny. It's not positive, and it doesn't ever end well. When we push our kids to the limits and we see how they will react to different circumstances, we need to bring them up to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. We need to provide for, bring them up is a term is nourish our children, encourage our children and our kids to maturity. we need to recognize, not to make fun of them or to put them in their place or push their buttons that makes them annoyed. We need to encourage them to act maturely. Train your child in the way they should go. I love that picture. Do you remember in the little video, there was a father and a daughter changing a tire on a car? Beautiful picture. And I've taught Rihanna how to change a tire on a car, and other people too. And you know what? If you want to get your tire changed, it's so much easier if you do it yourself. It's so much quicker. But when you train someone, you get down on your hands and knees and you say, right, jump on that tire lever so you can undo it. And yeah, jump on it harder. Yeah, no, maybe move to the end and jump on the end so you can release that nut. Then it's life lessons. You're training them how to be independent. Now, I taught that to Rihanna years and years ago, but I'm hoping that if she ever had a flat tire, she wouldn't just rely on NRMA to come and change it for her. I'd like to see her get her hands dirty and get in there and active and involved and work it out for herself. Train a child, get them involved, get them serving. Let them see the benefits of putting things into practice. Now, training, that could be at hands and feet. That could be going up and helping in kids' church or handing out things at the door or cleaning up some cups after the service. Train a child and they will remember your instruction. Instruct a child, guide and warn and correct them. There's a parent who decided they were doing their devotions on their phone and then they realized, I spend a fair bit of time scrolling on the phone. How is my child going to see me doing my devotions? Is it just another thing that I flick on my phone and read a little passage? So this parent decided, I want to instruct my child in the fact that a relationship with God is important. And so they don't use their phone for their devotions anymore. They get their Bible out and they start reading, flicking through the pages and start writing down little notes and writing things, their observations of what Scripture has told them. And so it's very important that our children see what we do and how we behave and give them a good example and instruct them how they can build on their relationship with God. We need to train our children in the way they should go. But we also need to encourage our dads and our dad figures in today's society. They take responsibility for their families. And we need to pray for them as they take on the role of protecting and providing for their families and being present with their families. Putting the phone down. I'm always getting into trouble for looking at my phone when we have a family dinner. I've got to put that down and engage with people, and I've got to be intentional with that. God's my perfect example, and I need to look at how God has related to me, and I need to try and reflect that with the people around about me. And we need to pray for our fathers and father figures in our community. Let's pray and commit our fathers into God's hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great example for us. I thank you that you are compassionate, that you are slow to anger, that you are gracious. You don't treat us as we deserve, that you are abounding in love. I thank you for your great example. And I pray for everyone here involved in parenting, in raising families, whether they're aunts or uncles or mums or dads, I pray that we might be very intentional in how we encourage our children to live their lives. I thank you for your engagement with each one of us, your intentionality, and the fact that you want us to engage with you as well. And so we ask for your blessing today as we go our separate ways and celebrate in different ways as well, our fathers. And I pray that you'll bring healing if there's hurt or harm that's happened as a result of bad examples of parenting. And so we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we'll say goodbye to our online people, and we ask that you have a great and blessed day. We're going to go into our communion service now. And what I'd like to do is just focus on these verses from Romans chapter 8. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, we are the children of God. And we're remembering our Lord Jesus Christ this morning with the bread and the juice. And the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. We're adopted into God's family. And we can cry, Abba, Father. And that Abba, Father is a close and intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can call on Him by name. He's available and accessible, and He's present with us. So let's use these as thought provokers as we pray and remember our Lord Jesus this morning. Let's have a time of worship together.